God for that. What is the title of your meditation tonight, preacher? Yielding. What? Yielding. Y-I-E-L-D-I-N-G. A couple of weeks ago, I was coming here in the morning, and there is quite a heavy traffic flow on the back road here on Lyons Mills. There's a bunch of people coming from Eldersburg, Sykesville, and that side going towards the city or the county, Baltimore County, to work. So that's a fair amount of traffic cutting through here to jump on 795 instead of taking all the traffic on Liberty Road. So you really have to be paying attention. Then there is the heavy traffic of people coming towards the Raven Stadium to work. There's a fair amount of people between 6:30 in the morning until 8:30, 9 o'clock. Deer Park and Lyons Mills is a fairly busy intersection. Then it gets back the same way around 3:30 until 5:30, 6 o'clock. When you come to Liberty Road and Deer Park, as you go from here, you come to the traffic light, you make a left, there's also cars coming from that way that comes in on Deer Park, and there is a sign, like a triangle, upside down, it says yield. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
I was just thinking about this. I'm coming here in the morning. There's a four-way stop here. And I have to yield to the person that gets on the three corners before I could make a move. You with me so far? Then when I go back home, that I make a left on Deer Park, whoever is coming from Liberty Road and the Beltway have to yield for me because I've got the right of way. And this week, three times, I almost got hit because the people that were coming were in such a hurry that they could not yield. Or perhaps they don't know what the meaning of the word yielding is. And as I thought about this thing, a scripture came in mind. Brother Harry, can you give me, please, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Yielding, it's always beneficial. In every single aspect, as long as it's not evil. Is everybody listening to me? As long as it's not evil, yielding is always a good move. If there's a yielding sign and we decide to obey, we could get into an accident and we'll be penalized for not yielding. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Yielding to the Holy Spirit is the best thing that we could ever do in our lives. Not yielding to the Holy Spirit of God will cause also some serious pain and harsh consequences. So I want to talk a little bit about yielding tonight. Read it with me. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? I went to Brother Harry, could you put the King James on this thing here? One of the translations said that the word over there, see, there you go. I went to look, and this sentence here summarizes what I'm telling you. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Many times we are yielding to the wrong force. Many times we are yielding to the wrong situation. And that could often place us in hard territory. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, James makes a very interesting statement about yielding. James 3, 17. Read it with me. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that comes from above. That's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And as I'm studying about this and thinking about this, it becomes so clear. We would do ourselves so much good if we would yield to the Spirit of God at all times. Because the ones that we yield to are the ones that we're going to become slaves, are the ones that we're going to obey. So if we are yielding to the Holy Spirit, if we are yielding to the Spirit of God and to the wisdom of God, we will do very well because God's wisdom is pure. We will live in peace. When we are yielding to the Spirit of God and to the wisdom of God, we're going to be gentle people, full of mercy and good fruits. And we will not be partial. It's unfortunate that today government is trying to legislate racism in the country. You can't legislate racism because it's a problem of the heart. And you can't legislate a heart problem. It has to come from within. It has to come from God. And when we are yielding to the Spirit of God, there's no violence. There's no cop killing. There's no African-American killing or any other race killing. Is a problem of the heart. To whom we yield, that one we become slave. And because in our nation today, people are yielding to the wrong line of thought. Cops are being killed. African Americans are being shot without having a gun. And the whole nine yards. Because we are yielding to the wrong chain of thought when we're supposed to be yielding to God. We as Bible believers will do very well if we decide to yield to the Spirit of God. By yielding to the Spirit of God and God's wisdom, we will always come ahead because God's wisdom is pure. Plain and simple. By yielding to the Spirit of God and to the wisdom of God, we will become peaceful people. Does that mean we cannot have demonstration? Yes, we could have demonstration, but not to set other people's cars on fire or other people's business on fire. That's not the wisdom from God. And when we yield to the wrong wisdom, we are yielding to the wrong purposes. Amen. And the result is dead. Yes. The result is devastating. We as the people of God are supposed to be aware that we're supposed to be yielding to the Spirit of God. Once that takes place, there's not going to be any partiality in us or hypocrisy for that matter. Rather, mercy will prevail and there's going to be a lot of good fruits in our lives. One of the greatest things that we can do to ourselves is to learn to yield to the Spirit of God. This is the greatest wisdom that you and I can have in life. Brother Harry, put the same scripture in the King James, please. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I want to check on the Greek, this sentence, easy to be entreated. And here's what I found out. The sentence, easy to be entreated, means willingness to yield. Did you get that? Willingness to yield. It means that you and I are not so stubborn that somebody has to hit us or hit over our head with a big pen to get us to realize that we are doing wrong. Did you get that? Let me say it again. The sentence is to be entreated here, when you put all things together, means that we are willing to yield. It means that we are not so stubborn to the point that somebody has to hit us over the head with a pen to get us to realize what we are doing is wrong. So the question comes then, what does it mean then to yield? Again, when you come up to an intersection and you see a yield sign, what does that mean? It means, in plain words, that the other people going perpendicular to us have the right of way. Did you get? So, we wait until they have gone before we then can proceed. Are we still together here? A yield sign is not like a yellow light, which tells us to proceed with caution. The yield sign is not yellow. Did you notice that? It's red and white. To yield means to wait for the person who has the right to go before us, go, then we follow after them. We're still so far we're still together, right? This is what means to yield to the Holy Spirit. We stop and allow the Holy Spirit to get in front of us. Then we follow Him. And we do what He tells us to do. We don't want to get ahead of the Holy Spirit. We always want to give Him right of way. And when we do, life will be much, much easier. We're going to be peaceable. We're going to be gentle. We're going to be full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. I'm challenging all of us tonight to learn to yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Don't wait for a bolt of lightning or listen for His voice in a clap of a thunder. No. Don't look for a magical, mystical revelation. Mm-mm. Why not? Because the Holy Spirit resides inside of each one of us. Amen. Think about for a moment. How loud can a voice inside of you be? Think about it, just for a moment. How loud can a voice inside of you be? It can only be as loud as anything else you hear in your inner ear. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of each one of us. And we need to learn to yield to Him. The question then comes, how do we know when I am yielding to the Holy Spirit? Well, here's a tip. The Holy Spirit will never tell you and I to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will never tell you and I to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. Somebody came to me recently and said, "Pastor, I want you to pray." I said, "Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of the voice." What happened? "I just co-signed for a relative to buy a car." I said, "You what?" "How much was the car?" "42,000." I said, "Take away your pension. Pay for that car. Take it out of your relative's family name. Buy them a jalopy for $1,000, $2,000. Take that car out and sell it back before you lose all." "Why?" "So why are you asking me for prayer then?" "Well, you know that the Lord will help them to pay for the car. So you go out and you make a mess, and you come now asking for me to pray, asking God for your mess to be cleaned. Why is it a mess? Don't you read Proverbs that says that you should not put yourself as a grantor for anybody? And if you do, don't rest. Don't give rest for your eyes. Don't sleep. Don't eat. Go back, kneel down, beg that person to release you from that pledge. Is that on the Bible?" "Oh, Lord. Which planet are you living? I never saw that. And I just started coming to your church." I said, "It's not my church. It's the church of the living God." So I gave the scripture. Now desperation kicked in. Person called again. "Pastor." I said, "Yes." "Can you please pray that my cousin will pay the car? He's already late." And then I ask, "Why did you do that?" "Well, the Spirit told me that I should do that." It wasn't the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not going to tell you something that is contrary to what is written on the Word of God. We will do ourselves a favor when we learn to listen and yield to the Spirit of God. A beloved brother that is no longer attending with us, he was partially mad with me. I guess he's getting over. He showed up a few times after that, a year without coming. He came to me and said, "Preacher, the Spirit of God is telling me to get a different wife." I said, "You hearing any other spirit but the Spirit of God?" You know, somebody may ask, "Well, isn't there a place for divorce in the Bible?" People have asked and challenged in that. Isn't there a place in the scripture for remarriage? No. Not when you are already married. Huh? Not when you are already married. Not when you have the Bible and the Holy Spirit inside of you. Not when you have a willing marriage partner that is willing to live by the Word of God. No, there's no place for that. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Now, again, in the time of our stupidity, the Bible says God will not take in consideration the time of our ignorance. But now that you got the Word of God in you, you got the Holy Spirit in you, the Spirit is not telling you to go and get another wife. What's wrong with you? Even if two people in a marriage don't see everything eye to eye, I told him, no, there isn't room for divorce. Why? We don't need to see everything eye to eye. We don't need to see everything eye to eye. We are two different people. We need to see everything according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Plain and simple. Do you imagine, or can you imagine, what would happen if both people in a marriage would say, You know what? My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. Let's find out what the Word of God says about the matter. That marriage would make it. But today, people are hearing the wrong spirits and yielding to the wrong spirits. Folks, God is not as mysterious as some people think. He reveals himself to us through his word, the Bible. And the problem today is that the Holy Spirit are looking for yielding vessels. And it's hard to find. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You can hear his voice. And when you do, please yield to the Holy Spirit. I know a young dude right now. Very young. Successful in his career. And he called for counseling. So, preacher, you don't know me, but I heard from you through one of your members. She said, you're a man of great wisdom. I said, no, I'm not. God is the one of all wisdom. I need some insight. I said, okay, what's going on? He said, this thing keep nagging me that I'm supposed to go to the mission field. I said, where is the nagging? I don't want to go to the mission field. I'm very successful in what I do. I'm making a lot of money. It's okay. And every time I'm at work, I'm doing great. I'm making great sales and pocketing in a lot of money. I want to buy myself a $100,000 car. And this mission thing keep coming to my mind. I don't want to go to the mission. Well, I hope that you haven't bought the car yet. What? You're going to lose the job. And you're going to lose the car. Please don't say that. I said, hey, if what you're saying is true, and there's something nagging you about going to the mission field, and you're not going because you're making good money, you're not yielding to the Spirit of God. And guess what? God's going to take away your job. Your car is going to be repossessed. And then when you are destituted of everything, you come to a point you can't get a job. Then you say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go to the mission field. He goes, oh, God, I shouldn't have called you. What do you want me to tell you? Been there, done that. Amen. So it's easy for you right now. Don't buy the car. Quit while you are ahead of the game. Get all the money that you already have. Buy yourself a house. Rent the house. So when you come back, you got a place to live. Give it to some property manager. You're going to lose 25%. Hey, but you got a house in here and there's money coming every month. Go do what God wants you to do. Fulfill your call in life. And maybe per adventure, while you're in the field, God may give you as much money as you're making now. What? Missionaries don't make money. So you're missing the point. It's not how much money you're making. It's yielding to the Spirit of God to do what you've been called to do in life. Amen. Lo and behold, he just lost his job. Can you pray that I can get my job back? I will go next year. I said, you attend church? Yes. Did you talk to your pastor? Oh, no. And why is that? If I'm going to talk to him, he's going to tell me, good for you. You're supposed to be in the mission field. And I'm supposed to be praying for you not to go to the mission field. Not quite. I just want to wait a little bit more, make another $100,000 this year, then I'll go next year. So you want me to put my reputation on the line with God on your behalf? Are you out of your mind? The problem many times, folks, we are yielding to the wrong voices. I don't know how good it feels to make $100,000 a year. It must feel good, because this dude don't want to go to the mission field. But I do know one thing. There is no feeling like going to the mission field, reaching out to people that don't know Jesus. I'm challenging each one of us to become yielding vessels to the Holy Spirit. He will speak to each one of us. We can hear His voice. And when we do, please yield to the Holy Spirit. I can tell you today, how many people I've watched over the years whose stubbornness prevented them from changing. Because it's very easy for us to get set in our own ways. We can grow accustomed to the way things are. We can get used to misery, if that's the case, you know. We learn to cope with misery. But you know what? God didn't call you and I to cope with misery. Listen to Psalms 32:9. God did not call you and I to cope with misery. So the best thing that you and I can do is yield to the Spirit of God. Follow His leading. Trust His word. And things will start to change. Will you read it with me? Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. We don't have to be stubborn. We don't have to come to that point when you're going to have a bridle in our mouth. We don't need to be stripped from all that we have because we are yielding to the wrong voices. Some folks in the past had a very hard time when they yield to the wrong people. But Harry, can you give me 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8? We don't want to make the same mistakes that people in the past did. We want to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, perhaps somebody here tonight is in a jam, or you're in a crossway, in crossroads, and you are not quite sure. I tell you this. The voice of the Holy Spirit is within you. And you will hear it as loud as you can hear in your inner ear. Listen to this. Well, let's read. But be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. When we are yielding to the wrong source, when we are not yielding to God, we might actually find ourselves fighting against God. Are you with me here? Right now, most of you know that it's a great desire in my heart for us to have a second congregation. And for the last 3 years, it has not taken off. Well, it just happened now that there is a congregation down the street that is without a pastor, and they can't get a leader. So they sent me an invitation. Can you come and preach for us at least once a month? I said, I'm going to run it by my boss. So I asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know that you said you're not done with me over here, and I'm not willing to leave, but is this what I'm thinking it is? You may be wondering, what were you thinking it is? Who knows? That may be the second congregation we've been thinking about. It's over a year, they can't get a preacher to go to preach for them. And if it continues the way it is, that close will shut down. The church. Then I'm thinking, well, I've got few tigers here, hungry to preach. We just have to get them thinking straight. And who knows? That may be the second congregation we've been dreaming all along. Have you made a move? No. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak so we can yield to the Spirit, not to my desire of having a second congregation. Folks, the best thing that we can do to ourselves is yield to the Spirit of God, to the wisdom of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 13, we read the following words. Romans 6:13. After that, I want 6:19. Neither yield ye your members as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and you members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is who we want to yield to. This is what we want to do. We want to be useful in the hand of God. Amen. We want to do what God wants us to do. Each one of us, each one of you here under the sound of my voice, has been brought by God into this world with a single purpose in the kingdom of God. Nobody here tonight is free. You know, I was delighted with everything that you guys did this morning. But it was such a breath of fresh air to see how Brother Wayne presented the thing today. You know, life is good. You know, life is good. And I was thinking, if I tried to do that thing, I couldn't do it. I couldn't. But yet, God gave this man a way to present things, you know. It's a gift in the kingdom of God that few of us have. I mean, I could be good with the word, but if I had planned this thing for a whole year, I don't know that I would have come with such a clever and yet simplistic way that was good and was funny. So what you're saying? When we yield to the Spirit of God, the Spirit will use us in whatever capacity in the body of Christ. You know, we don't have to have a title, doctor, pastor, reverend, prophet, whatever. Just yield to the Spirit of God. And let the Spirit of God accomplish what you've been designed for by God. And you will see that life will start changing. Last verse of the night, Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so, now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness. On the past, we were crazy. On the past, we did lousy things. On the past, we yield ourselves to iniquity, to things that were not godly. Now you've got the knowledge of God. Now, do yourself a favor. Live a better life. Live a more victorious and meaningful life. I'll be as far as to say, live a happy life. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And watch, He change every single situation in your life. God bless you.